The question was asked, are professionals living to work or working to live? The answers come from the global staffing firm Robert Half, a survey they conducted from employees all across the country. We're happy to have with us Marilyn Bird, who's the district president at Robert Half, with us back here on the opening bell. Marilyn, good morning. Welcome.
Good morning, Steve. Good to talk to you again.
Lovely having you. This is an interesting story, but before we get into the numbers of this, when we talk about work-life balance, what are we talking about?
I think the best way I can define it is flexibility. This topic keeps coming up in almost every professional article or trend. Flexibility to balance your work and your life priorities, having control over that schedule, and what that means is different for everyone. But I think flexibility is our best way to look at it.
Yeah, because when I think of that, I think of a couple of things. One, do I have enough free time or off time to celebrate my life? Others might think, well, do I have enough time to take care of my family, take care of those responsibilities if I have to leave work, that sort of thing? Probably both are covered by that, right?
Yes, like I said, I think it's different for everyone. At the same time, the element of having a choice or some control over it is really what we're talking about.
So what did you ask folks? How many people did you talk to, and what were their responses?
This particular survey really decided to dig into how employees feel that they are managing work-life balance. They were scored on what the rating overall, you know, how they feel about their particular work-life balance. Is it good? Is it poor? Is it excellent? It also looked at if it was different based on gender. It also looked if they thought it was improving or not improving over the last few years.
And so what were the highlights? What were the takeaways from this? What did you find?
Well, you know what? Good news for Chicago. According to this survey, at least, Chicago employees gave their city and their employers the highest marks out of 28 different cities and markets for work-life balance. They also indicated that it's improving. They feel like it's really improved over the last 3 years and that it's still very much a priority, whether female, male, and really any age group.
Chicago, Houston, Los Angeles, Miami, New York, San Francisco all scored the highest marks. As many as three-quarters of people, of the employees, said that they had achieved that work-life balance, good or excellent.
Exactly. And it didn't really get into the details, you know, what their reasoning was. Like many surveys, it's more about the overall points, and then it really allows you to have discussion. But I think there's a number of things going into, you know, why Chicago may be towards the top of that list.
What would you say is that, if you had to guess what's happening in not only Chicago, but some of these other cities that's not happening elsewhere?
I think employers are really paying attention. You know, as we've talked, this topic continues to come up. I think Chicago and some of the other bigger cities that are listed on there are obviously paying attention to the employee market. If you want to retain people, you know, at your business, if you want to attract more people and meet your business goals, you have to have some modification for work-life balance. People are talking about it. People are prioritizing it. And I think it's a general realization that people that are happier, feel more in control of some of their life choices, are going to be a more productive workforce. And Chicago is paying attention, and obviously it's getting better, and they've made modifications to the work environment to allow for this to happen.
Nashville, Denver, Atlanta, Cincinnati, San Diego, and Raleigh reported the most dissatisfaction in their work-life balance. Are they doing just the opposite of what we're doing?
I can only assume. You know, the survey doesn't get into the specific details, but I can only assume that employees in those markets don't feel that they have as much control over the flexibility of their work environment. You know what I think it really comes down to, Steve, is it's not so much where or when professionals do the work. It's really about the performance. So I think as employees start to get more opportunity to determine where and when, they really have a sense of work-life balance, and that's very, very important to them.
Yeah, that feels right when you say that. You mentioned earlier, and the survey highlights this, that it's getting better. Nearly 43%, regardless of where they were at, say they think it's getting better compared to 3 years ago. What's improving? What did they tell you that they, or if they did, what is improving in their minds?
You know, conversations just like this, I think, are really helping. It's definitely being talked about more in the work environment. It's definitely being surveyed. I also think it's becoming much more of a trend for companies to realize, what do we need to do to attract employees? What do we need to do to retain our employees? The job market has been increasingly difficult to find good talent. You know, over the last few years, employers are paying attention to everything and anything that they can so that they can attract and keep good people.
You mentioned that, and I have to think this must be becoming a really good time for employees across the country, because as the job market gets tighter, you're going to get paid more. But also, this just exactly what we're talking about. Companies are going to try to find ways to make us all happy.
I think they have to. If they want to survive, they really have to. And it's really evolved. You know, I think if you look back a few years, if you're anything like me, you thought about work-life balance. Maybe we only thought about that in the realm of families trying to manage children and the demands of those schedules. And quite frankly, in the last few years, it's really evolved into every level, all types of families and individuals and professionals, and it really just becomes about planned and unplanned things that people want to accomplish during the work week. And that encompasses the entire workforce, and I think that's why the conversation has become so important and employers are paying attention.
Marilyn, I was struck by one of the questions that was asked here, and that is, who is responsible ultimately for this work-life balance? Is it the employee or the employer? What did you find there?
Well, it's interesting. The employees more frequently thought it was a company's responsibility, whereas employers more frequently thought it was a candidate's responsibility. And it's something that, you know, really deserves discussion, because the ideal outcome is going to require both making it a priority, isn't it?
Yeah, it absolutely is. So any other highlights here from this report? Any other takeaways?
I think the other, you know, takeaway here is really about people that maybe haven't put as much emphasis on this topic. Maybe this is a good way to get the conversation started in your own environment. You know, I think work-life balance is defined for us now. I think it's one of those topics that people can treat like any other career goal. It really requires you to define it. What does it mean to you? And that can be different for everyone. How do you track it? Have you had the conversation with your employer? If you don't have any ideas, they may have some ideas. But ultimately, it's something that a professional wants to have as part of their career, make adjustments so that it really can help their overall satisfaction and their employee experience.
That's an interesting one of those is going and talking to your employer. Do you have any advice about how that conversation might go?
I think the biggest thing is to have a conversation with yourself beforehand. Mm-hmm. You know, what I was saying earlier is define it. What does it mean to you? It's so different for everyone. And what are you trying to accomplish? Is it to accommodate planned types of experiences outside of your work, whether it's volunteer experiences, maybe an exercise routine, or are you trying to accommodate unplanned things like taking care of children and unexpected school occurrences, or maybe an older parent and you need to take some time for doctor appointments? Any of those things are different for everyone involved, and I think you have to figure out, what am I trying to accomplish? And then you need to go and prepare a conversation to say, what can be accommodated? What tools are available in this particular environment? What can be my options? And then get a plan so that it's fully communicated on both sides it then has a higher likelihood of working out for both the employee and the employer.
What impact do you think surveys and research like this has on companies who are maybe considering coming to one of these cities? I mention that because obviously here in Chicago, we're all waiting with bated breath to see if Amazon selects us for headquarters too.
Mm-hmm.
Is this an important research for companies as they look around the country for locations?
You know what? It's an important topic for companies that are trying to attract talent anywhere. Like we said, it's getting harder and harder, right? So anything employers can do that substantiates that their work environment is attractive, accommodating, a place that a person can stay and build a career for a long time is only going to be an advantage now and in the future.
Marilyn, it's always good chatting with you, and this is some good information. Thanks for being here with us this morning.
Thanks again, Steve.
Marilyn Bird, District President at Robert Half. It's the global staffing firm, Robert Half, and you can find them online at roberthalf.com.